It's episode 98.
98!
This is Ethnically Ambiguous.
And this is Shireen.
This is Anna.
And today we talk about so many fun things. The first 20 minutes is really enjoyable, actually, as much as we don't get to the point. But we catch up on our weeks. Anna was out of town, and I watched a movie, and we just fuck around for 20 minutes.
Anna was out of town, and I watched a movie.
Yes.
Just one single movie for your entire week. The way what? You said that is just funny. Anna was out of town, and I watched a movie.
And I was alone.
Yeah.
No.
I was in a dark room.
Hey, actually, no. I was working all weekend. Anyway, the point is, we had a week, we catch up, and then Anna talks about bullshit Jared Kushner, and I talk about Eid, which was last week, for all Muslim brothers and sisters, so...
And we asked the very long, deep, super deep question, is Keanu Reeves lonely?
Oh my god, I forgot.
Shireen gets horny. Stay tuned!
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Woo!
Do you love me?
I didn't answer. hi, this is episode 90 fucking 8.
Wow, can we harmonize or what?
That was disgusting. Oh
my. Shireen, the record labels, they're blowing my phone up.
Whoa, they're texting you a lot, actually.
Yeah.
What are they saying? Why does she sound
so bad?
Like that?
Oh,
okay,
boy.
Well,
let's turn my phone around.
Hi, fam.
Can we cut all that out?
Yeah, cut that out, please.
JK.
That's not going to be on the final one,
leave
is it? Can you make my voice sound better?
Hi, can you put auto-tune on our voices?
Can you just auto-tune my entire
Just auto-tune existence? The rest of this episode.
Yeah.
Like, Shireen.
Lonnie Eunice.
What do you think about Trump? My things about Jared Kushner. Could you imagine?
Yahoo! Yahoo! It's like a drop in one of the, like,
What are your songs. Thoughts on Aid? Just talking off fake auto tune
the whole time.
Shireen,
how was your week?
Moderate.
More on the left.
Moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. That's
what
I always like to say.
Oh.
When someone goes like, how are you doing? I'm like, moderate. And then I wait a beat and then go,
to severe plaque psoriasis. Like, under your breath softly to yourself.
Which is funny because sometimes I make that joke and that's how I find out who doesn't watch as much TV as me.
Oh.
Because I've had friends go like, what do you mean?
Like, you're like, oh, I'm garbage.
You don't watch trash TV until all hours of the night and watch those insane fucking commercials where lawyers try and get you in on lawsuits?
Yeah. You don't have commercials ingrained in your memory, like little slogans. Like, I'll hear it.
I'm sorry, but vaginal mesh is an issue.
Oh, God. How was your week?
It was great. Actually, it wasn't great.
You were in SF this weekend, right?
Yeah, actually, I was in SF this past weekend. This is funny because I talked to my friend about this. He was like, are you going to talk about us on your show about what you did this weekend? And he was like, but don't say my full name because I'm currently dealing with potential, like, identity fraud. And I was like, do you really think someone's going to listen to my show and be like,
that's the guy?
Got him! Steal his identity!
Yeah.
So, Jose, that one's for you. I won't say your last name for fear this one will come steal your identity.
In our defense, Jose's a common name, so we're fine.
Yeah, Oho. Oops, gave us
Whoa.
Your nickname. This past weekend, I went to my friend's memorial service, who I spoke about in a few episodes back, who passed away less than a month ago. I went to his memorial service, and I saw a bunch of friends, and it was really nice.
That's
we
awesome.
All caught up, and it was...
You know what I mean? It's not awesome, but, I mean, it's nice that you guys...
I mean, it's
moment.
Always, like, dark shit like that. You're like, well, I mean, he did bring us all together.
Yeah.
But there's, like, a part of me, like, just last night, I was just like, God damn, I fucking wish he was here, because he's so fucking fun.
Mm-hmm.
He would know how to spice up a memorial.
Yeah, his own memorial.
Yeah.
That's sad. I'm sorry.
There was a lot of emphasis at the memorial about how much he liked to eat. I thought that was, like, really funny. They, like, really emphasized.
That was, like, the one thing that stuck with
he
people.
He always had a to-go container wherever he went, because he's like, I'll take some to-go.
Fucking hero, man.
Dude, he loved eating. He was just, like, the dude who
relate.
Just loved food. Like, his Instagram is filled with food. And then they did, like, a slideshow of a bunch of photos of him. Which is funny because when I went up to his dad, I like printed out some photos to give to his dad. And his dad was like, oh, yeah, no, I've seen you in photos. Like, you're in the slideshow and all this stuff.
Whoa.
And I was like, because there was like so many photos of us on his Facebook. I was like, Jesus Christ, all we do is like photo shoot or mm-hmm. like photo booth on our fucking Macs all the time.
Yeah.
It's like all we did.
That was an era for sure.
Like me and him like weren't in class. Like we were just photo boothing. But there was, yeah. And so in the photo slide they did at the end of like all these photos of him, they were just like insert photos of food he took. Because he just loved food so much.
That's so nice.
It was really funny.
I mean, it's funny. It's also just like so endearing that that's like so
yeah,
like commonality that everyone remembered.
He loved. Well, there was also like certain things he would always say. And then it was like funny to hear like other people that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. Like be like, he would always say this. And I'd be like, wow. He would always say that.
Yeah.
He was so authentically him. He was so many things, but all those things made him so authentically himself. It was just like, he was just such an amazing person. And it's very sad to see him go so young.
I'm glad you were in SF with I'm glad you were able to go.
Yeah, I mean, and it was nice. And I rented a van and I piled a bunch of friends in it and we all drove together. And then we like saw like a bunch more friends who came. And it was just like a very nice interaction to see all our friends again. And like,
and I'm sure like he would have loved that he brought people together that way. Like it wasn't like he wanted to. Like, it wasn't a suicide. Can I say it wasn't a suicide?
No, it wasn't a suicide.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, I feel like it's a beautiful thing for someone to be able to do that. Like, yeah. Someone must have been so loved for all those people to be there.
I mean, he really was, like, when I was looking at his photos through Facebook and stuff, like, it was, like, almost like he knew every single person. Mm-hmm. Like, there wasn't just, like, one friend group. Like, we were his main group of friends, but, like, as I was going through, I was like, oh, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
He knows that. Oh, the guy. Wow, yeah. He knows that person? Oh, wow, he knew that person? Yeah. He knew the one guy that I know that was on The Bachelor? Like, it was like, he knew everybody.
Wow.
And it's true, we all worked at the campus coffee house together. Like, there's so many moments in my college career where I imagine that I just remember, and then I like, immediately remember, I'm like, oh, my God, D'Amico was sitting next to me.
Yeah.
Like, D'Amico was there. He was always there next to me.
Yeah.
And it's, like, so crazy that I'm just never going to see him again.
I'm so sorry,
it's, like,
man.
Really, I mean, I've really kind of slowly come to terms with it. Actually, the moment it really fucking hit me is when I saw his urn. Mm. And then I was like, fuck.
That's him.
Fuck. Yeah. That's D'Amico. Yeah. Like, this is it. Like, we're saying goodbye to D'Amico. It was really
fucking wild.
It is wild. It's very surreal to think that person has left the earth.
Yeah. I think that's the hardest thing. When I think about someone that I love leaving, I'll just like, I can never talk to them. I can't call them up. I can't just see them again. Like, that's so terrifying to think about. Like, they're not here.
Yeah, and I would always like comment on his food pictures on Instagram. Yeah. Be like, damn, Dumbo, you think you've had enough? And I was like, oh, was I bullying? Ow.
Cyberbully.
I just fell off my thing. It hurt a little.
Oh, the funny bone.
I can't use it anymore. I'm just like my puppy.
It's genetic.
My puppy hurt himself. Ugh, the drama.
But yeah, I'm glad you went.
Yeah, it was very nice. Yeah, so, you know, I want to shout out all my friends. Evan, you know, Jake. Oho, don't steal his identity. Mel, it was good to see you, girl. Nobody listens to this podcast. Ellie, it's good to see you. Long time no see.
Like, this is like a radio show now.
shout out to Keenan.
Where you
Scott.
At? Where you at? Thank you for
Lonnie, listening. Shout out to my girl Lonnie, who said she heard my our ad on a other show on Stitcher or something
Thanks.
Like that.
Thanks.
Shout out, Lonnie. Yeah, thank you for listening.
Thanks.
Okay, good extra.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I'm here too.
Sorry if I completely forgot to mention you.
No, I mean,
oh, Sierra, shout out to Sierra. She was there.
Yeah.
The
hype man. I watched a really cute short.
John Cornichuk was there.
I think that I watched a short that kind of devastated me, but I think is really good, and I recommend everyone to watch if they're going through anything. It's on Netflix. It's from 2013 or 2014. It's called Golden Time, and it's by this Japanese filmmaker called Takuya Inaba. And it's set in like the 1980s, but it follows a television set from the 1960s, and it's animated, if I didn't say that. And it's so endearing. And
it follows a television set?
Yeah, like a discarded television set.
Oh, interesting.
And it's just animated, and like it's animated in a way that kind of looks older than it is. And I watched it before coming here, actually. My friend recommended it to me because he thought I would like it, and he was so right. I loved it so much. just 20 minutes of your time. It's so endearing. It like made me so sad, but also happy that it existed, like as someone that loves film. And yeah, just watch it. Golden Time on Netflix. I worked all week, so I was kind of like, this was like my one, like I was looking forward to watching this and I wasn't working. So I was glad, other than working, this was like my highlight of, like, this was like, if you asked me what happened with my week, I'd be like, watch Golden Time.
Nice.
So it's really cute. It's very cute. And it's just nice to watch it a little short.
Can I tell you about something that I went deep in?
Oh my God.
So last week, this article came out about Keanu Reeves being like lonely and like, oh my God, alone.
Please call me.
Right. And then they came out and were like, his publicists were like, this isn't real. This interview didn't happen. He didn't say that. Which low key, I'm like, didn't he though? Or were you guys really just trying to like be like, no, he's not lonely.
It's okay to be lonely.
Right. But it's Hollywood. So they're always trying to like, keep everyone's brand up.
My personality is just loneliness.
That's fine, Shereen. You're not Keanu Reeves.
Okay.
But anyway, it was just like this weird thing where I was like, God damn, Keanu Reeves is a fucking urban legend.
Yeah.
And then I Googled, then I got deep. Uh-huh. Then I really started to be like, that's so fucking funny. And then I started to read his Wikipedia and how his like child with his girlfriend of the time, Jennifer Syme or Sim, however you say that, was born stillborn. And then she died like two years later in a car accident.
He's had a tragic life.
Yeah, really wild. And it's just like goes on further and further. And
he's
I'm
had
like,
family
dude.
Deaths.
And then I Googled Keanu Reeves alone. That's a Google image you need to see to believe.
The one where he's on the bench?
There's hundreds more, Shereen. This guy's alone a lot. He's alone a lot. He's always eating something. He's always looking like off. There's one that like really got me because it looks so fucking random. And it's him sitting on like a fold up chair in like this little crevice of a building. And there's just people walking by and they're not really noticing him. Huh. Like they're just kind of like, and he just looks so like.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like it's random. And it's just like, what is going on with Keanu Reeves?
Oh my God, this photo is absurd. There's two people literally right in front of him that don't even know it's Keanu
No,
Reeves.
They're just like, and there's more of other people just walking by and just not acknowledging him. And he's just sitting on this like foldable chair and just like,
he's a ghost.
He's a fucking ghost.
There's this Twitter account that I follow called Keanu Doing Things. Yeah. And it's just like either him like jumping around or eating a burrito or like on a motorcycle. And it's great. I'm obsessed with Keanu, if you can't tell. But not only is he a ghost, but he also doesn't age.
Right.
Like,
and it's a very interesting thing because you're like, what in the world?
Yeah.
And then,
like, he's had a very sad life.
True, but like he's also so incredibly successful. It's
but
like a really weird thing.
It doesn't equate with happiness, which is so strange.
True, but it's just, it's a really silly thing to get deep into. And then, you know, I started reading articles and then like I started telling my friend Evan this weekend about it and he texted me this morning like, dude, I started to get really deep into Keanu as well. And then he sent me this article that's like, Keanu Reeves is too good for this world. And then there's like a...
we don't deserve him. We don't deserve
There's
him.
Like this late night interview where he's like, they ask him, what do you think happens when we die,
Keanu? Oh my God, I saw that!
And it's like, he's just like, he's on some next level shit.
He said, we just won't be around. Or the people we love will miss us. That's what he said. It was such a deep, and he was like 20 or something when he said that, when he had that interview. And his response was like, without even a beat, he was like, the people we love will miss us.
It's like, insane. Fuck. Keanu is an urban legend.
He is a wise, fucking, amazing alien. I love him
if
so
If you
much.
Have the time,
also,
get
Also, ethically ambiguous,
deep.
Please be on our show. I know you're to listen, but putting it out there.
I feel like if we reached out, we could get him.
I want to.
It doesn't seem too hard.
I would die.
And then I'll be like, are you lonely?
I would actually pass out.
Is the topic of your loneliness off topic?
I'm so obsessed with him. Oh my God.
Should I reach
everyone,
out?
Everyone
I'm going to reach
know.
Out to his
My
reps.
Mom is obsessed with him. Everyone I know is like, there's something magnetic about this man, and it's because he's not of this world. He is too good.
He's not, dude.
We are not, we do not, we don't deserve him.
We don't deserve him, dude.
I want to watch, I've heard it wasn't good, but the Ali Wong movie that's on Netflix right now has...
Oh, I've heard mixed reviews.
I mean,
I heard he's in it too. I actually screenshotted a photo of him at the premiere, and he's like off to the side, and he just looks like...
Oh my God! Keanu, I'm so worried about you. Please don't leave us.
He's not going to leave us. He's just on some next level shit.
But, I want to see that movie only because of Keanu. And because of Ali Wong. I think she's funny, but I've heard his role is really funny in that movie.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
I'll watch it.
It's called Always Be My Maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think he's so fascinating. And when you read about his life, he's just led such a sad, not he hasn't led a sad life, he's rather had like really traumatic deaths in his life, whether it was a stillborn child. I think it was either his brother that committed suicide, or hold on, I don't want to say the wrong thing. But yeah, and then someone died in a car accident, and like
that was the girlfriend.
Yeah, his girlfriend died in a car accident. But he's had like a tragically like heartbreaking life.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, and he had like an estranged like drug addict father, and
dude, it's like never ending.
Yeah.
It's like, what's up, Keanu? He's like, I don't know, man.
Like, what else is there?
What is life, man?
And his mom was like a showgirl and a costume designer, and they were only together for 2 years before their divorce.
Dude, what is life?
And then he lived with his sister and his mom for most of his life. But he never reconnected with his biological dad. And his mom had like many short marriages. But yeah, and his mom was diagnosed with leukemia, and he became her major caretaker.
Holy shit, he has 7 agents. That's way too many agents. That's way too many agents.
I mean, he's also
7
Keanu Reeves.
Agents, though? Do you think any of those people have ever met him?
I didn't mean to say his mom. His sister became diagnosed with leukemia, and he was her major caretaker. Isn't that so sad? And she had a decade-long battle with cancer, and he donated to numerous causes dedicated to curing cancer during this time, and even set up his own charity that doesn't even have anything to do with his name. I love him.
Didn't he also like donated the money he made on like the third Matrix to the cast and crew?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So fucking dope. But yeah. 7 agents is too much. Keanu, come talk to us. Let's talk about all these 7 agents. They're also all dudes except for one. We need to talk about this, Keon.
We're on a short name basis now.
Not gonna lie, I bought a crop top with his face on it once.
I mean, I would wear his face on my body, but
I gotta find it.
The girlfriend that gave birth to the stillborn daughter was the same one that died in the car accident.
Yeah, that's
which
the one.
So fucking tragic. Like, what?
On her way back to a house party that Marilyn Manson was throwing.
Oh my god.
Tragedy
anyway,
follows Marilyn.
Tragedy follows Keanu.
Can I tell you? Sad. Yeah, actually, maybe I shouldn't tell this on air, but I'm going to. I'm just not gonna name names. Someone I know told me that, like, they were like, hey, Marilyn, because they're like, know him. And he was like, don't call me Marilyn. That's gay.
What
and I was like, what the fuck, bro? That's literally what you call yourself, Marilyn Manson. Like, what do you even mean by that? Like, yeah. They were like so taken aback. Like, first of all, you can't say that. Also, what?
Maybe, was he being like,
I don't know.
Sarcastic?
I don't know. He's
ironic.
A fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
This ruined our chances of getting Marilyn Manson on the show, but fuck you, Marilyn. Nothing is gay. Gay is cool.
Gay is very cool. If you're not gay in 2019, you're fucking boring.
Yeah, it sounds like you're projecting, bro. I don't know about what, but...
can you hand me a tissue, and then do you want to start this episode?
Yeah, so anyway, shout out Keanu. Come to the podcast if you're listening. Also, Jamie Loftus has a great story about how he would always come by, like, Sudoku books at the bookstore she worked at. He loves Sudoku, dude.
I love Sudoku!
Oh my god, you guys could kiss.
Oh my god. We can do Sudoku together on our
and
nook.
Kiss.
On our breakfast nook.
And kiss.
I would love to kiss. Stop. Don't make that noise. The one thing I hate are mouth
Imagine
noises.
Shireen and Keanu Please. Kissing over a book of Sudoku.
I legitimately got hot. This is my dream. Do you know how much I love Sudoku and Keanu?
And kissing Keanu?
Sorry, I can't do this anymore. I need a moment.
Oh my god, Shireen, your pants are soaked.
Ew! God. Anna, too far.
I have fun. Shireen is freaked out by me. Okay.
What is this episode?
All right, I have some serious stuff to talk about, Shireen.
I'm glad we had this moment because Anna's going to talk about some bullshit. I mean, it's good, but I'm saying it's like, so I'm glad she's talking about it because it made me really mad. Made my blood boil.
La 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 Keanu la 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 Keanu Keanu no. Okay, I'll stop.
Thank you.
Cause you're all like, hey, sexy Sudoku Reeves.
I can't think straight, please stop.
Okay, I'll stop. Everyone tweet at Keanu. There's no way he has social media.
Keanu and he doesn't, but just Keanu.
That's what makes
Keanu, but Keanu doing things is a fun account.
Oh yeah, she'll follow it. And that is where we both took a sip of our drink. At the club. We're actually recording this at the club. So
can you hear
so that's we drink and party at the club.
And we record when we can. We have busy lives, you know?
I'm so full of shit. Okay.
Yeah. I don't want them to be like, this is stupid. Why are we?
They love this.
Do they?
Don't you guys love when we just fuck around? I think you do. That's what makes this fun. This show so fun.
Is this show
except
fun?
For the people who like are like, I don't like the lack of structure. And then they're stop listening.
This is too conversational. These girls are so dumb.
Yeah, and then they stop listening, and that's for the best. Because this is not for you.
We're niche, and we're going to own it.
We're the queens of nothing.
Niche.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Sorry. Queens of nothing.
We're the queens of Keanu.
Oh, my God. Please. I will bear
Why
that.
Are you so horny over Keanu?
Who is it?
That's my favorite way to say it. Keanu.
He's like the perfect man.
Keanu, stop!
That's like what he sounds like.
You know
what's
funny? My boyfriend fucking loves Keanu. And
everyone loves him!
Millions of times suggested we change Ace's name to Keanu.
Okay, that's too far.
Yeah, I'm always like, first of all, it's too late for that. Secondly,
I love him too much to be an animal, like a pet's name.
Keanu. Kala.
I'm still mad that there was a movie called Keanu. Like, no.
That's cute. That was a cute kitten, though. That was a gangster kitty.
I never saw it.
That kitty joined a gang. Okay.
Is that the base of the story? Anyway, what are you talking about today? No.
That's funny. I'm gonna start this now. That's a Jordan Peele joint.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, okay, I'm gonna talk about Jared Kushner's interview with that new Axios series on HBO. So the first episode.
Actually, do you want to take a commercial break and then we can get started?
That's a good point.
Because we have been literally bullshitting for 20 straight minutes.
Guys, look at us killing it.
Yeah. Let's take a quick commercial break and I can tell you all about the bullshit that is going down.
Hi, we're back. And this is Keanu. JK.
It's Anna. All right. So I'm going to talk about, on the first episode of season 2 of Axios on HBO, they had Jared Kushner on to be interviewed by reporter Jonathan Swan. And I don't know if you know who Jared Kushner is, but you fucking better if you listen to this podcast, because
really
he's the straight up devil. If you are ever within, give or take, 5 to 10 feet of Jared Kushner, you need to go at him, his trachea, with a plastic knife. Just joking. I mean, it's up to you.
The very least, kick him in the knee.
I don't know why you would have a plastic knife. But yeah, if you could do that thing where you take their knees out, that's really funny.
That'd be great.
So he was on, and so he's the, you know, Donald Trump's son-in-law. He's married to Keanu. He's married to Ivanka Trump.
Sorry, I was confused. Her mommy, Ivanka.
Ivanka, that's a weird one to get confused by because she's also the devil. She's also should go to jail because she's a criminal.
No, because Ivanka and Ivana are so similar. Mm-hmm. That's all. Sorry. Sorry.
But Ivana didn't scam a bunch of people out of, housing. Well, that's a long story. But anyway.
And not a fake feminist. Well,
maybe she did. Who knows what she's up to? But the mom. So, yeah, and he's also a White House advisor, and he doesn't ever really do interviews, and this is exactly why, because he's a fucking dum-dum. Also, he's shady. And in the last few episodes, I've talked about how he's basically pressuring Qatar into getting on his, new, deal that he has for Palestine and Israel, his, Middle East ideal deal that he thinks it is. And then also that he basically forced he was strangling Jordan, the country of Jordan, into agreeing to this deal. And then at the same time, he basically forced Qatar to pay for his underwater building that he had in New York City because he's shady. The 666 building. 666 Park Avenue. Like, how fitting for the fucking devil.
That doesn't sound strange at all.
Yeah. So Kushner struggled to answer a lot of Jonathan Swan's straightforward but firm questions on many issues. But we're going to focus on his thoughts on Israel and Palestine. So he basically said that Palestinians deserve self-determination, but he stopped short of backing Palestinian statehood, expressing uncertainty over their ability to govern themselves.
That's so condescending.
Yes. So he asked whether he believed the Palestinians were capable of governing themselves without Israeli interference. Kushner said, "That's one that we'll have to see. The hope is that they, over time, will become capable of governing," which is fucking insane because they can govern themselves. Hey, guess what? They were a country before all of this.
Yep.
Hmm? Okay.
Before you, force them to share.
Now, this is the most key part of the interview that really, just infuriates me. He says, "The Palestinians," in quotes, "need to have a fair judicial system, freedom of press, freedom of expression, tolerance for all religions before the Palestinian areas can become," in quotes, "investable."
Wow.
As in, AKA, okay, does Israel have a fair judicial system? Does Israel have freedom of press? Does Israel have freedom of expression, tolerance for all religions? No, not at all. But yet, Israel does have a government and a structure set up that allows you to invest in land over there. So all of you just got to remove all that and just say the Palestinians need to be investable before they can govern themselves. You fucking piece of devil ass white shit. You're an idiot. You have no right to be in charge of any of this other than the fact that you were literally born into it.
You and married into
trash
it
bag. He is one of the architects of the United States yet to be released Middle East peace plan. Kushner said it would be a high bar when asked if the Palestinians could expect freedom from Israeli military and government interference. So the Palestinian leadership, they've boycotted the diplomatic effort that Trump has hailed as the deal of the century, in quotes. Even though Kushner has been drafting the plan for about 2 years under a veil of secrecy, it is seen by Palestinians and some Arab officials as tilting heavily in Israel's favor and denying the Palestinians a state of their own. What do you know? Is it because they're all in the fucking pocket of Netanyahu? Probably. In Sunday's interview with Axios, Kushner avoided saying explicitly whether the plan would include a two-state solution, which has like been the issue of U.S. policy for decades. Like, it needs to happen. He goes to say, "I do think they should have self-determination. I'm going to leave the details, leave out the details until we come out with the actual plan." And last month, he indicated that the U.S. would be pulling back from its longstanding support of the two-state solution. He says, or he told the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, "If you say two-state, it means one thing to the Israelis. It means one thing to the Palestinians." We said, you know, let's just not say it. Let's just say, let's work on the details of what this means, which is like such a non, it doesn't
that's
mean
like,
anything.
That's not an answer.
That doesn't mean anything at all. It just means we don't give a shit about Palestinians, so we're not really going to like try and make this a thing. And we don't want to upset Israel. So the plan is apparently supposed to be unveiled at a U.S.-sponsored investment conference in Bahrain this month. Wow. So why is it being sponsored at an investment conference? Or, like, why is it being released at an investment conference? Like, what does that mean?
Way to make it less, like, subtle. Like, it's just what, like...
What does that mean?
Because it's just... That's all it is, just land. There's no people on it. There's no families. There's no children on it. It's just land.
Yeah, so the Palestinian Authority said they will not attend the event because they were like, what the fuck is this? So the U.S. officials have been vague about the timing for releasing proposals for resolving the political issues of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but experts are skeptical of the Trump administration's chances for success, because why wouldn't you be? The Palestinian leadership has refused to deal with the Trump administration since late 2017, when Trump decided to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And the Palestinians demand Jerusalem's eastern sector as the capital of their long-promised state, while Israel insists that the whole city is its internal indivisible capital.
Keep in mind, Israel as a country has only been around since the late 1940s, and Palestine was there way before that.
So, of course, this just happened. Israel's heading for new elections in September because, oh, dummy Bibi Netanyahu failed to form a government. So there's uncertainty expected to further delay the rolls or the plan's rollout.
Well, I mean, I'm first thrilled that his leadership is finally getting questioned at a serious degree, you know?
Like, yeah, because no one wants to fuck with him. And he's, like, really staying in power to get away with all his bribery and stuff. He, like, needs that, like, wall to protect him.
And his wife just did, like, a plea bargain, right?
Yeah, because she's a dumb bitch. Yeah. So, and not that the plea bargain was dumb, it's just more that what she did to have to take a plea bargain is because she's a dumb bitch. So the Kushner interview actually took place before the Israeli political developments, so he wasn't asked about that. But when he was asked whether he understood why the Palestinians might not trust him, Kushner said, "I'm not here to be trusted." And that there's a difference between the Palestinian leadership and the Palestinian people. He said he believed the Palestinian people would judge the plan based on whether they think that this will allow them to have a pathway to a better life or not.
Not a real answer still. Also, if you have to watch the clip where he says he's not here to be trusted, because he's just he He's just disgusting.
He speaks like this.
He's just awful.
He's like, I'm Jared Kushner, and then I'm not here to be trusted.
It's like, what are you on, reality TV,
immediately,
you bitch?
After he says that, the interviewer was like, yes, you are. It's like, yeah, you kind of are.
The interviewer really took him to task. Jonathan Swan was asking. There's like really great clips of this. You should go online and watch. I'll also post a few on our footnotes, so definitely check it out. So Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, he delivered his assessment of the plan's prospects in a closed-door meeting with Jewish leaders last week, saying one might argue that it is unexecutable and that it might not gain traction, according to an audio recording the Washington Post newspaper reported about on Sunday. Wow. Like, ooh, high praise. Yeah. Pompeo did express hope, however, that the deal was not simply dismissed out of hand. That's according to the Washington Post. And then Trump, of course, told reporters, we're doing our best to help the Middle East to get a peace plan. I understand why Pompeo said that. Most people would say it can't be done. I think it can be done. So all these people live in dream world and don't understand Middle Eastern politics and don't give a shit about Palestinian life. And yeah. It's really bad. It's like really bad. And I don't think this peace plan is even going to remotely consider the Palestinians' lives under any circumstance.
Yeah, of course not.
I think it's
They're
going
not
to
consider people.
It's going to be shut down by the Palestinians as just a shitty plan, which is just going to be like, give your stuff over to Israel and stop complaining. I mean, like, who knows? It's probably going to be like petty. Like,
you're
that.
Too savage to govern yourselves.
It's just,
it's so condescending. It's so disgusting. They don't treat us as people.
You can't govern yourself until you have a structure that allows me to invest in your land and make money. It's like, you fucking...
We governed ourselves just fine before you invaded us and, like, fucked up our structure. Like, I'm not saying... Obviously, at this point, Israel has generations of people there, and I'm not saying they should leave. But a two-state solution, that's not what they're even proposing anymore. Like, they can't live in unity because they're trying to force them out of their home. Their solution is to make them go to Jordan.
Yeah.
That's not a solution. That you are expelling them from their home. You're making them second-class citizens, literally. It's just disgusting.
It's bad. It's straight up the devil's work.
Yeah.
I don't fuck with it. I think this plan is not going to work out. I mean, I'm very interested to see what trash these, like, old, shitty, rich white men are going to, like, try and pull.
It was so disgusting and fascinating at the same time to see how he handled himself when he was asked these questions. So I think I'm just, I would be so upset if the same thing kind of happened with, like, other white men or other people in power that try to justify this decision. Like, and people, if people don't question it and see that it's wrong, that's when I'll really lose hope. You know, but I'm glad at least Jared Kushner is getting roasted out there, because it's
for real.
Yeah, at least there's hope there.
He's an idiot.
He really is. Yeah.
Well, anyway, you guys should follow that closely. I'll keep reporting on what other bullshit Jared Kushner is up to, and then go watch that interview, because he's a fucking idiot, and it's so clear. Like, there's a point where they ask him if birtherism is racist, and he's just like, yeah, I'm not really a part of that. And they're like, is it racist? And he's like, yeah, I'm not really a part of that. They're like, is it racist? He's like, yeah, I'm not really a part of that. It's insane.
Yeah, it looks like the clip is glitching.
Yeah, it's like, no, he just, like, is an idiot and can't respond to anything.
Yeah.
And also, Jonathan, yes, Swan doesn't give a racist. Fuck, so he keeps asking. Yeah. Him. Yeah.
Also, the answer is yes, it is racist. Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. it puts one person over the other, and that is the definition of racism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Should we switch gears?
Yeah.
My little bit is a little happier, and we wanted to end on a happy note. We're actually recording this a little early this week. We are recording this the day before Eid, and
yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Eid is tomorrow, and I'm going to talk about what Eid is for Muslims all over the world, and how it marks the end of Ramadan, et cetera, et cetera. So let's just dive right in. So,
whoosh,
yeah,
whoosh. I just dived in.
So, in Saudi Arabia on Monday evening, which is today, it's like the future for them, they cited the crescent of the month of Shawwal. So, the Muslim community follows the lunar calendar. So, their months are different depending on, like, they don't start this, like, at the exact same time because of the moon. So, the sighting of the crescent marks the month of Shawwal, and that month beginning is the sign of Ramadan ending. So Ramadan is the name of the holy month where Muslims fast. Tomorrow, June 4th, is Eid al-Fitr. in Saudi Arabia, and most countries follow suit when one major country declares this. They saw the crescent, basically. And the sighting of this crescent moon signals again the end of the holy fasting of the Ramadan month and the start of the new month of Shawwal. And it's basically known as Eid al-Fitr, when it's translated from Arabic, is like the festival of breaking the fast. I want to go into what Ramadan is. So basically, Ramadan is a month-long period of fasting and deep reflection. Muslims fast, and I've always fasted my whole, I mean, when I reached like puberty and until like college, basically, I stopped fasting because of an eating disorder, and it kind of triggered me. But my dad still fasts, the majority of my family still fasts, and I actually learned a lot about myself through fasting, and I think it's an amazing practice. Basically, you fast for the whole month, whether it's like 28 to 30 days, depending on the moon cycle, for daylight hours. So no water and no food from sunrise to sunset. And you break your fast at night with iftar for the whole month with your family. And you, my family at least, we always like have a date to break our fast with lentil soup. And traditional, like that's like our go-to dishes for us. And it's just like a beautiful time where like your family's together, and it lasts a whole month. And so the very last meal of this is Eid al-Fitr, which is a huge celebration because it marks the end of this and it's the festival of breaking the fast. And they observe the religious holiday by taking part in traditions such as holding prayer services and donating money to charity, which is a huge part of the Muslim religion. So traditionally, Eid is celebrated for 3 days as an official holiday in all Muslim majority countries. However, the vacation days vary by country. I remember growing up, my parents would often like take us off from school. Like we would like, it was like our Christmas. We had like a day off and we would just like go eat together or go have a family day. And because we didn't have a lot of extended family where we grew up, it was just basically just a day with our family and like having a day off, basically. As Muslims around the world bid Ramadan farewell, they also prepare for Eid al-Fitr. And depending on the sighting of the moon, as I said, Eid celebrations will either begin on Tuesday, June 4th or Wednesday, June 5th. So there are some countries, I'll get into this a little bit later, but basically precisely when followers choose to observe the end of Ramadan and Eid al-Fitr, it varies because there is a little agreement on whether within the faith that whether the moon has to be spotted with a naked eye and whether it needs to be seen in the country where the celebrations are happening. So that's why Eid happens on different days for different countries, is because some people think you can't see it with your eye, and if you can't see it in your country, then you don't have Eid yet, basically. Like, the month isn't over until you see the crescent. And if it hasn't been seen, it's officially over in 30 days. So, most Muslims, because it's the lunar calendar, they have to wait until the night before Eid to verify the date. So there's no, like, at the beginning of Ramadan, you don't know what date Eid will be because you have to wait for the sighting of the crescent and the new moon. So it's kind of, I love the lunar cycle, and I think it's so, I don't think a lot of people know how much Muslims are attached to the moon and the lunar cycle, and it makes us, and it's so cosmic, you know?
It's like astrology.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And this is like, we all know we're all made of water and the moon controls the tides and everything. And I think there is something about the moon that's like really magical. So I really love that Islam goes by the lunar calendar for that reason.
It's because our bodies are mostly water.
Yeah. I like your, why is your mic so high?
Because I was typing what you were writing the tags into the page. So oh, okay. I was just trying to not I just wanted to make sure you're like comfortable.
Okay. Oh, I see now. Oh,
I'm just trying to take notes on what you're saying.
Okay, copy.
That's all I'm doing.
Word. As I said, Eid al-Fitr depends on the lunar calendar, and that's why it falls on a different day on the Gregorian calendar. We follow in America the Gregorian calendar, and it varies from country to country depending on your geographical location. So most people this year will be celebrating on June 4th of last week. It's from the evening of June 4th until June 5th. That's like the official time of Eid al-Fitr. To declare the start of Eid, I'm going into a little bit of detail, but I think it's fascinating because the Muslim majority countries like Saudi Arabia, which is a big Muslim majority country, they depend on the testimonies of official local moon sighters. Sorry, I sounded like cider, like a drink, but I meant sighters. like S-I-G-H-T-E-R-S. And then their judicial high court declares if Eid has arrived. So it's a very official thing. And then after it's been verified, it's declared on all the televisions, the radio stations, and at all the mosques. So what is this holy celebration? So as I said, Ramadan is the month where Muslims fast during daylight hours, and it follows the ending of Ramadan, and it commemorates the Quran first being revealed to the Prophet Muhammad, and is one of the five pillars of Islam. And it also marks the end to the solemn period of reassessment that is Ramadan. Because Ramadan, when you're fasting, it's about being grateful. It's about being understanding what it's like to not have much. And it really is a solemn period of reassessment. And I like that it's described this way in this article, because I kind of like wanted to make sure I was getting the right information to you. So I like this description of it. But the festival is a day when, or the celebration is a day when Muslims thank God for strength and for blessings, and hoping that the commemoration of Ramadan has brought them closer to God, which is the whole reason Muslims pray. It's the whole reason they fast. It's just bringing them closer to God. And it was first celebrated by Muhammad in 2064 CE following a victory in battle. So it's a very long-standing tradition. And I'm going to get into how Muslims celebrate Eid after our final commercial break, so we'll be right back. And we're back. Why don't you speak Arabic? There it is. Muslims across the world, they begin Eid celebrations by partaking in prayers, followed by a short sermon soon after dawn. The reciting of a certain set of prayers, especially for this occasion, is known as Salat al-Eid. And so Muslims will generally gather at mosques or in open air locations like parks to recite the prayers on the first morning of the festival. And when they sit, they'll sit down with their family or their friends for breakfast and their first daylight meal, for their first daylight meal following this month of fasting, because for the whole month they weren't able to have a daylight meal together. So it's a very special meal to sit down with your family and fast and literally break fast and eat breakfast. Like, that's the definition of breakfast. So traditionally it's celebrated for 3 days, as I mentioned, in Muslim majority countries. In the UK, fun fact, Muslims tend to celebrate the festival for a day, and they might take time off work or school for the occasion. So it was cool to read. This is the UK based article that I was reading, and I like that they mentioned that. Another important tradition is Zakat al-Fitr, which is the act of giving charity to the poor at the end of Ramadan. So Zakat just means like giving, charity, basically, and it is one of the five pillars of Islam. So giving alms to the poor and zakat, because it's one of the five pillars, it's during Eid after Ramadan. It's like, this is the, like, it's the time where you donate the most money. Traditionally for most Muslims, it's Zakat al-Fitr. And people congratulate each other as they head home after Eid prayers, and they spend the day visiting relatives and neighbors and accepting sweets as they move from house to house. So, I mean, I've always wanted to experience Ramadan and experience Eid in a Muslim country, but I was really young the last time it happened. I don't remember a lot of it, but I remember it was really beautiful. And it's just because when you're in a Muslim country or a Muslim majority country, like Syria isn't a Muslim country, but like there's still like the call to prayer, and it's like this magical sound where everyone is just like bustling and together and just amazing. So it's common for the capitals of Muslim majority countries to decorate their cities with festive lights and to hold carnivals to commemorate the end of the holy month, with children dressed in new clothes, offer gifts and money to celebrate the joyous occasion. I always remember getting new clothes at Eid and like getting like a money and for my grandparents or whatever. And it's literally our Christmas. And because it's by the lunar calendar, growing up, it did fall around Christmas time. So for me, I thought it was like always that way until I realized it was the lunar calendar. Because when I was younger, it fell around Christmas time, at least for a couple of years. And so it was nice like being able to celebrate it with our friends for that reason. But now it's like obviously during the summertime, and it's going to become like, it's going to change year by year. Each country has traditional desserts and sweets that are prepared before Eid or the morning of the first day, and these foods range from like special biscuits and bread to cakes and puddings. And on the first day of Eid al-Fitr, voluntary fasting is not allowed, as Muslims are encouraged to feast and celebrate the completion of a month of worship and abstinence from food. And in some countries, families even visit graveyards to offer their respects to family members who have departed. Each country, as I said, has a set of customs associated with Eid, and generally Muslims prepare for Eid prayer by taking a shower and dressing in new clothes because you're clean and you're, like, pure. And even before prayer, I don't know, I mean, maybe for Muslims out there, it's probably, like, second nature. If you watch Rami, even you might know this. But you wash before praying each time. You wash, you do wudu. So washing yourself is, like, a huge part of being clean in Muslim culture. And with clothes being an important marker for Eid, especially new clothes, some people wear traditional clothes from their culture while others pick out something new to wear. So just depending on your traditional culture or like what country you're in, you're either wearing a traditional garb or something new because it's an important presentation of Eid. And they're also, Muslims are also encouraged to eat something sweet, usually dates, before heading to Eid prayers. Dates are a huge part of Muslim and Arab and Middle Eastern culture in general, so it's like growing up, they always told us that like the Prophet Muhammad would break his fast with a date. So we always did that growing up. And I think the majority of Muslims do that as well. On their way to prayer, Muslims, and when the prayer is held in an open area, Muslims recite a takbirat, which means like praising God and saying like Allahu Akbar, which only means like God is great. I feel like a lot of like, shows that like depict Arabs as terrorists will be like Allahu Akbar all the time, but all it means is like God is great, and Allah is literally just the translation of God. There's not like a different God, it's just God. The same God in Judaism and Christianity is the same God in Islam, because Jesus is a prophet in Islam, Moses is a prophet in Islam. It's all the same religion, just different versions of it, in my opinion. But following the prayer, family elders distribute cash or gifts to children. And then they eat. So what do people eat for Eid? The most important fun part of this whole spiel. The best article I found about this is, of course, from Al Jazeera. And there's a really cool infographic at the end of this article that I was reading. And I really encourage you go look at it. And I'll link it in the description. But it tells you the traditional dishes for Eid for many different countries. And they include the photos of each dish and the recipes on how to make them if you want. And they all look so fucking good. Everything looks so good. It just made me want to eat a family food with my family. It was so yummy. So I'm going to start by going from each country. They mentioned a few and they're also interesting because I didn't know about a lot of them. But in Yemen, let's start with Yemen. It has a Muslim population of 27 million. In Yemen, a family would typically have lunch at the home of the head of the family, and they would enjoy a plate of bint, I'm sorry if I mispronounce any of these, but this they say it's bint el-salhan, and it's a sweet made of folding thin layers of dough topped with honey and nigella seeds. Nigella seeds? I don't know what that even is, but it looks so good.
It's nigella like seeds?
Yeah, it looks so good. And there's a recipe and a photo of it, and it looks like just like a pastry with like thin layers of like, oh my god, it looks so good. It's like a baklava essentially, but like I'm sure it's like a special baklava. And then in Russia, which has a Muslim population of 16 million, in Moscow, Muslims head to the Ramadan tent near the Moscow Central Mosque, where the festivities begin, and afterwards, families gather to enjoy a variety of foods like manti. And manti are dumplings that are typically filled with either seasoned lamb or ground beef stuffing. And again, the photo looks great. Even though I don't eat meat, dumplings. Adorable.
Yum, yum.
Yep. Always cute dumplings. Yum,
yum. Yum, yum.
I'm just hungry now.
I know. Reading this, I was starving. Sorry, I know you haven't eaten yet. This is like torture, probably.
This is torture.
But
yum, yum.
But at least you're not fasting. In Sudan, the Muslim population is 33 million, and people congratulate one another as they head home after Eid prayers, and they spend the day visiting neighbors and accepting sweets as they move from house to house. I mentioned this earlier, but I think it's a very particular Sudan tradition. And families will enjoy a plate of asida, which is the main dish, a main dish enjoyed during Eid al-Fitr in Sudan. The dish is made of wheat, and in Sudan, it's traditionally eaten with a tomato-based sauce. In India, the Muslim population is 180 million, and on Eid, many men visit graveyards to offer their respects to the family members who have departed, which is a tradition I really love. I've always had a really, like, I love graveyards and cemeteries because I don't think they're creepy at all. I think they're the opposite. I think they're so beautiful that, like, people have people, like, those people that are there at least have people that care about them and enough to commemorate them. When I was in high school and college, I had, like, a phase where, and I still want to do it sometimes, but I would, like, read books in cemeteries and, like, I think it's a beautiful place because all those people have been at least loved or want to be remembered in some way. So I like that on Eid, people visit cemeteries and graveyards to offer respects to their members who have left them and the family members that they love. And in India, children also go to Mela, which is a local fair, to buy sweets and toys, and people visit friends and relatives and neighbors and the elderly after offering prayers at mosques and Eidgahs, which is traditional open structures especially built for Eid prayers, which I didn't know even existed until just now. Many of them also enjoy a delicious bowl of Sevayan ki khir, which is a vermicelli-based dessert topped with sliced almonds. Again, looks fucking delicious. Please look at these photos. In Egypt, the Muslim population is 80 million, and it's customary to break one's fast with a date and a glass of milk on the morning of Eid. It actually reminds me, that's what my dad always does. He always has a glass of milk with a date. Or like a yogurt or some type of Laban in Arabic. After Eid prayers, many children play in the streets with rice-filled balloons and celebratory hats, and families indulge in khak, which I've never had, but it's a mouth-watering cookie filled with a special honey-based filling.
That's funny. It's called khak because that means dirt in Farsi.
It's spelled, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it's K-A-H-K. How do you even say that?
K-A-H-K.
Like, khak. Yeah, khak.
Yeah, that means dirt in Farsi. That's well, funny.
I hope it doesn't taste like dirt. But also funny that it means that. I love those, like, language differences where you find a word that means something else. Like how in Arabic, the word kiss means pussy.
Mm.
Yep. Fun fact. And air means dick. The more you know. In China, the Muslim population is 20 million, and Chinese families usually celebrate Eid by returning home to visit the elderly, and a Chinese household will often prepare yuzheng, which is a fried flour-based snack that can be eaten with rice or soup. In Malaysia, the population is 19 million, and in Malaysia, Eid is called Hari Raya, which is the grand day. And on this day, men and women dress up in a traditional Malaysian dress made of satin, and families visit one another and share a variety of sweets, including bite-sized desserts called lui. And there are brightly colored sweets made, they look so good and, like, very vibrant. They're so interesting looking, and they include steam cakes, which are butter, wheat, eggs, and sugar. In Somalia, the Muslim population is 10 million, and after Eid morning prayers, the families and neighbors, they gather a special Eid. They prepare a special Eid bread called kambabur. It looks really good. Sorry, I'm trying my best. This is a wheat and millet based dessert, and it's sprinkled with sugar and served with yogurt. In Afghanistan, population is 29 million for Muslims, and it's said that in Afghanistan, quote, Eid belongs to the children, and many parents prepare special festivities for their children on the first night of Eid, which is, like, very similar to Christmas. Households prepare stuffed flatbreads called bolani, and these nutritious breads are often stuffed with either spinach, pumpkin, potatoes, or green lentils. It sounds so good. And last but not least, my favorite place ever, Syria. Most population of 20 million. It's Eid in Syria is celebrated differently in different parts of the country. Like, for example, my mom is from Hama, my dad is from the capital of Damascus. Even they have different traditions, even though they're just cities apart, or like 3 to 2 hours apart. But in Syria, despite the ongoing violence, families try to enjoy the festivities by meeting up with their friends and neighbors, and they prepare semolina pudding called mamouniye. I've had it before. It's very, very good. This dessert is served hot or cold and decorated with ground cinnamon and sliced almonds or pistachios. It's so good. Mamouni is delicious. My mom makes really good ones, so is my grandma. Oh, it's so good. But I want to know. I want to tell you how to wish someone a happy Eid. And even though this is coming out a week later, I still think like your Muslim friends will enjoy you saying like Eid Mubarak to them or happy Eid. So basically, the most common phrase is Eid Mubarak, which means blessed Eid in Arabic. You also say Eid Sa'id, which is happy Eid. But they also, I think it's really interesting because depending on the country and the language, Eid greetings vary. For instance, in Indonesia, Eid is called Lebaran. So Indonesians would say Selamat Lebaran, which means happy Eid. Other variations of happy Eid are Mutlu Baylamar, which in Turkish, and then a Nigerian language, it's Bakra El Salah. So it's just so interesting to hear different versions of like Muslims around the world. There's so many Muslims. It's the third most populous religion. So of course there's going to be different traditions everywhere. But
we say Eid Mubarak.
Yeah, Eid Mubarak. It's the most common one.
Eid Shoma Mubarak.
Yeah, we say Eid Mubarak or Eid Sa'id.
Or less formal, Eid Tol Mubarak. Oh, lack of formalities.
I'm kind of annoyed they didn't mention Iran in this article.
Well, our Eid is like Iranian New Year.
Oh.
But like Ramadan is celebrated, but like we don't, like we call it Eid, you guys call it Eid.
Well, that's just different, different languages.
I don't know. I just think there's like the Islam Ramadan.
Uh-huh.
Which Iranians don't celebrate unless they're Muslim.
Right.
So I think it's different. So like my mom would be, but she wouldn't call me specifically and be like, Eid Mubarak.
It's so funny because my mom literally texted my sisters and I this morning being like, don't forget to wish your dad a happy Eid tomorrow.
Right. So, but like for Iranian New Year, she would reach out and be like, Eid Mubarak.
That's interesting.
But because I'm not the most Muslim.
Yeah. My dad is the only one that's fasting in my family, in my immediate family.
Oh, it's my mom and my brother do
all it. My other family, like pretty sure my grandma is fasting and my grandfather tried to, but he has health issues, which I was like, please don't hurt yourself. It's an exception. You don't have, like, if you're pregnant, if you have your period, if you have health issues, you don't have to fast. That's why my mom doesn't fast. That's why I don't fast. Even though I had my whole life. But all my uncles are fasting. My cousin is fat. Like, my little cousin is fasting, who's like 12 and actually, how old is he now? He's graduating middle school. Oh my God. Anyway.
He's 46, Shireen.
But
my mom and brother are fasting, but so, my dad doesn't do shit.
Yeah.
He's probably like drinking wine.
Yeah, probably. That's like the opposite of what you should do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's a really beautiful time. So if you have a Muslim friend, Muslim family member, just wish them Eid Mubarak. And even if it's a week late, who cares? It's a month long religious celebration and tradition. So
it's time to party.
They'll appreciate it. And all I
it's time
do
to
now,
party Eid style.
Exactly. All I want to do now is eat with my family, which is the whole point. And we don't have time in this episode, but I will talk about the differences between Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Eid al-Adha it takes place later in the year.
Yeah, I was going to say different times a year.
It's like for this year, it's in August, and it's considered the whole year observance for Muslims.
Have you spoken
out of
about
the two.
It before?
I don't think I have, because when I was reading about it,
maybe
I mean,
we've just spoken about it.
I think I've spoken about it in passing, but I've never like dived in depth about it. So I want to talk about that eventually in a different episode. But basically, that Eid is about the Mecca pilgrimage, which is like another pillar of Islam, and this is about Ramadan. So this one is a little bit like a more family oriented and more like celebrating. Like we made it through the month and we're fasted and we have a better understanding of religion and ourselves and. I just love how it brings people together and how it remembers people that have gone and how it's literally all about food. Like even though Ramadan is about fasting, when you break your fast every night, it's about gathering, it's about food, it's about appreciating the food you eat, it's about being grateful for what you have. And then you donate so much of your, people that can donate to the less fortunate. And that's what zakat is. Zakat isn't necessary and mandatory for people that can't afford it. But for people that do afford it and can afford it, it's a really amazing tradition where you are grateful for what you have and you donate to people that need it. So I just think it's a really amazing holiday. And even though I'm not the most religious person, I don't really believe in anything anymore, it still has a really special place in my heart. And like I just worked on a set yesterday and there was one of the PAs that was fasting. And as he left, I was like, Eid Mubarak. And he just had a smile on his face and he was just like, thanks. And I don't know. It was just nice. Because just like, I feel like I want to, like, I think Jewish people have, they're able to say they're Jewish without being religiously Jewish. Like, it's both a culture and a religion. And I kind of feel that way about being Muslim. Like, even though I'm not religiously Muslim, I still feel really culturally Muslim. Because it was so, it's a huge part of our upbringing, you know? But that was my little spiel. Happy Eid. And, yeah.
Happy Eid.
Yep.
I'm a beep.
I'm a beep.
I'm a beep. Thank you for all that.
Yeah, I hope it made sense. And I hope you eat something yummy today. And I hope any, all the Muslims out there.
I didn't know that was all from the Prophet Muhammad that he would eat a date.
That was what we were told in Islamic school.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, no, I never even made that connection. Or I guess I just didn't know.
The only reason I know is because it was like told to us. But
it makes sense that we would do what the Prophet Muhammad did.
I mean, that's what like the whole fucking life is about. Yeah. Like,
it's like, seems to she's check like out, our Shireen. Jesus. Yeah. It is like a really, as soon as you said it, I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
We literally do like whatever he did.
Yeah. I also was explaining we're Islam such followers, to someone dude. That, like this white girl on set had no idea. Joke. Huh?
I said, we're such followers, dude. Oh. Get it? Because like yeah. we follow he's, the religion. And he's a of shepherd. Islam. Yeah.
With sheep.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, not, I mean, in a good way. I mean, I'm not Muslim anymore. But I was, oh, as yeah. I said, culturally Muslim. I want to be culturally Muslim.
It's more of a joke of like, yeah, look at us always just follow, like, we're not individuals, but follow, because of religion.
Follow Muhammad at Muhammad.com. No, I'm just kidding.
At Muhammad.
Yeah. Peace be upon him.
At Muhammad _ shepherd.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I'm going to put the articles in the footnotes and in the description. The first one is the Al Jazeera article with the infographic on the bottom with all the food. So I highly recommend you look at that. And yeah, just love your family, everybody. Love your family. That's all I got.
Well, I'm tired.
Yeah, we can end. I can plug us out. Do you want me to plug us out?
Plug us out.
Plug us out. Not, okay. You can follow us at ethicallyamb, A-M-B, on Twitter, and ethicallyambig, A-M-B-I-G, on Instagram. We have our website, ethicallyambiguouspod.com. We're everywhere you can find podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, our website, and basically anywhere, your iPod app, your podcast app, what are words? And you can follow me at Shirohiro on Instagram, and Shirohiro666 on Twitter.
And you can follow me on Twitter at so.
And yeah, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you guys eat something yummy, and if you're Muslim, Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak.
Yeah. Bye.